Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM welcome you to new episodes of Your Stories, Our Community. We will be interviewing people from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences from around the Harvey area. 12 current volunteer Harvey Community Radio announcers will conduct the interviews, and station manager Ian Taylor will coordinate the project and is the producer of the recordings. Harvey Community Radio is thankful for the financial support for the project by the Community Broadcasting Foundation and the Shire of Harvey. Welcome to Your Stories, Our Community.
G'day listeners, how you going? This is David Marshall and this is Your Stories, Our Community. And I've got the great privilege today of being in the studio with a special studio guest, and it's Sally Ann Smith. G'day Sally Ann, how you going?
Hello, good, thank you, yourself?
Yeah, really good. And it's really good that you can be in here and share a few of your stories and insights and all sorts of stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for having me.
No problems. All right, let's kick in straight away. We've got a few questions we want to chat about today. And the first cab off the rank was, how long have you been in the Harvey area and what was the reason for you coming here?
So we came down with mum and dad and my two brothers in 1986. Mm-hmm. One of my brothers had Down syndrome and we needed to be near fresher air for his health.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, that's a good place to come because I think the Shire's logo, isn't it? A breath of fresh air. That's right. So hopefully, mind you, some days when the wind is blowing from the west and it's coming across, sometimes that doesn't quite fit the bill. But anyway, no, that's cool. So 1986, yeah. So I've been here for a long time in that context. And what was part of your growing up story in Harvey, if you like, from that 1986 period onwards?
It goes back further than that.
Okay, cool.
I thought I'd just go right back to my ancestors. They go back to India and England and, of course, Australia. Mm-hmm. There's a story that goes down with the ages of our great-great-grandfather, who was Ramset Singh. He was an Indian prince and was badly hurt in the Boer War. He was fed beef broth, and being Hindi, cows are sacred, and he was shunned and stripped of his title.
Wow.
So from my English heritage, I was from Lord North of Kirtling, in the Queen Elizabeth first time. The castle was in our family and it stands still. It still stands. Mm-hmm. With Lady and Lord Fairhaven that the Queen gifted it to them. If we were to pay the millions of dollars in back taxes, perhaps it could have been ours.
I can honestly say I've been in this place for 20-odd years now and I've never had anybody with a heritage that's got an Indian prince on one side and Lord North of whatever it was on the other side. So that's amazing. So, yeah, roll on from there.
So I actually asked my mum, I said, so what is that? What would that make mean? And my brother piped up and he said, that makes you a peasant.
A man of much insight.
Yeah. So mum's line is fifth generation Australian. Mm-hmm. On my mum's dad's side. My nan, she was a 10-pound pom arriving in 1926 as a child in Sydney, Victoria, Goldfields, and Nana Wills was doing the laundry for the miners.
Oh, yeah.
They were unsure. There was Charles Mason, he was in the first fleet, whether he was the convict or the soldier.
Right.
So if I'm a peasant, I'm pretty sure it would have been a convict.
Yeah, take the convict every time. That's a badge of honour for most of us these days. So
so I was born in Bentley in 19-something or other. Mm-hmm. And grew up in Perth. Dad had worked with Calm and came down, travelled to Harvey. So my uncle Les Webster ran the Harvey Pharmacy. In 1950s and 60s, uh-huh. It's still trying to get information on that.
Yep.
So we've had connections for a very long time with Harvey.
Sounds good. Sounds really good. So, yeah, strong heritage, a mixed heritage.
Pizza.
Or I'll leave you for saying that one. But, and, yeah, found your way through parents and whatnot into Harvey in 1986 and have been here pretty much ever since. So what are the things, you've had plenty of times to think on these things, all right, and that may have changed over time, who knows. But what are the things about the Harvey area that you think are really special for you? They may not be special for other people, but the things that you really enjoy and think are special in this area.
I love the land. I like going up, being able to go to the beach or going up to the dam. The Wildfire Ridge Walk is such a beautiful, sacred place. Just having camped around that area, not that you're allowed to now.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
Long time ago. The, you know, fishing, camping, the community, being around friends, marining, being able to marin, the freshness of the place, except when the westerlies are hitting. The diverse industries, but the community spirit.
Great. I love that ending on that one, and we might flesh that bit out a little bit more. And you've probably, in a sense, possibly answered the question in as you just have then, but what are the main things in life that you enjoy doing the most? You've told us about things that are special to you around this area, and probably some of the things that you enjoy doing the most might fit into some of those special areas, but... Yeah, what are those sort of things you like doing?
I'm a pretty busy person, but when I can, I enjoy art. I love family camping, fishing, being on our boat before dawn, and as the sun comes up over the sand dunes, freshly cut grass. I love the first rains and after a long spell of hot weather, standing out in my bare feet into the earth. I love full moons. I love animals and nature. I really enjoy adrenaline sports.
Right.
Yeah. I've bungee jumped, I've skydived twice, I've done aerobatics over Coolangatta in a super wacko biplane, which was just amazing. I love learning from our First Peoples of Australia, or my Binjara Noongar Morit and Korida.
There is a lot in there. I knew about the last bit because I know you're involved in the Noongar language classes that are going on around here.
Yeah.
Didn't know about the bungee jumping bit, though, and the extreme sports. So, wow.
Yeah.
That would have to get the heart rate going.
Yeah. It's the thing I like. You know, every year I like to try and do something. But I've got a V8 car, but I'm not silly in my car, but I'd like to go and on the tracks and have a go at the F1s.
Right. Wow. Every year I like to also try something new, but it doesn't involve bungee jumping or V8 cars. But anyway, I'll be hanging around you. And it is a lovely boat that I see in your driveway when I go to work each morning.
Oh,
so I can imagine that getting out on that would be pretty
Excalibur.
Pleasurable. Yes, exactly. Excalibur, exactly. Okay. I want to drill down a little bit about, obviously a lot of this is pre-COVID stuff, and we want to talk a little bit about the COVID journey for everybody in this version of your stories, our community. For you, before COVID-19, do you think there were things that you possibly took for granted? Is there anything you can think of that may fit that sort of question?
I think it was freedom. Not being, you know, being in lockdown. You know, we're lucky to have a backyard. A lot of people don't have backyards or they're in flats. I couldn't imagine being in a flat and not being able to go out your front door and get some fresh air. Family and friends, I think, you know, we sort of contact each other more. And, you know, my friends understand that I'm a busy person, but I can do, you know, I can see them when I can. And I love being around my friends. I think toilet paper
yes.
is kind of, you know, it's a general
Who
thing
would have
for
thought
everyone.
Of those big long lines, even at our local IGAs, that happened as well.
Yeah, so. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Not being able to go outside, the school, homeschooling four boys, wondering if our daughter's okay in Perth, and whether however she's coping, not seeing my mum and dad or my older brother. Trish and Steve actually used to run the Harvey News Agency, and they knew that we had a big family, and I was concerned about the amount of toilet paper that we were allocated. So six people in the house was pretty daunting to think that if what would happen if we ran out. So Trish saw me run across the road in the main street at York Road, told me to come out the back. And I was like, oh, okay, no worries. So I met her out the back and she said, don't tell anyone, but I've got some toilet paper for you.
Oh, gross.
But I was so appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely.
I felt like a criminal in that.
Oh, no, that's fantastic.
But then I took it home and I felt like a champion. You know, I could supply toilet paper to my family.
Beautiful. Hunter-gatherer. It was
it. Yeah. That toilet paper.
Oh, no, that's cool. And look, so many of those are just very practical examples, I think, that all of us can relate to. You know, there's just stuff that you just wouldn't have even thought about beforehand suddenly becomes, you know, the number one thing in our life.
The apex predator is
toilet paper, yes. So that's fantastic. And look, once again, you know, you probably wrapped up in that answer alone some of the things where I wanted to head next. But what were some of the most challenging things for you let's take the toilet paper out of that. So that's possibly one of them. But were there other things that were a challenge for you?
We're ensuring the boys' mental health. It was okay. You know, they couldn't go out and see their mates. They couldn't go to the gym, which levels out the testosterone levels. Outside, I think it's the only time that I was quite content that the boys used social media to connect with their friends. One was my husband's father passed away.
Right. Yeah, that's a very difficult time for a lot of people during that.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
I think the amount of people that he could have and should have had. He was an Australian truckie, so you know he knew quite a few people across Australia, and they wanted to do a truckie convoy, but it was decreased to 10 people in the chapel. That was really hard on the family, and he was duped of that.
Yeah,
and it wasn't fair.
Yeah, and. I appreciate your honesty in this. I really do, because this is very much part of what we're trying to capture here is the reality of what this last period of time, 2-3 years, has been. There's been some ups and there's been a lot of downs in there as well. And that's a really personal example of that. So, yeah, thank you for your honesty in sharing that. It seems hard to flip it to the next bit.
Well,
but
this, you know, like carry on. This pickup, you know, even down to picking up and dropping off with the school packs, educational packs, using the gloves and wipes, spraying with the disinfectant before and after, prompting the kids to understand about remote learning without distraction, trying to keep them on track. But, you know, and telling them, you know, it wasn't the zombie apocalypse. They're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just stop eating so much.
Good solid parental advice there.
Because they had nothing, you know, they had a lot to do, but being at home, that's something that kids do.
Yeah, but absolutely. So what about in that context then? And, you know, as I say, you've really shared from the heart, in particular, that instance. That will stay with your family, you know, forever. It'll be something that you'll always mark as a challenge, if you like, a real challenge. What about on the flip side? Was there any highlights from the family's point of view as well? And yours in particular?
Yeah, connecting with family and friends. The kids, they had Friday fun day, which they either did what they wanted to, or we did board games, cards, art and craft. We relaxed. We had limited tech. We swam in the pool.
Yeah.
Used our gym in the shed.
Right.
More. They're the main things. Being together. Connecting with other people in different you know, social media platforms.
And I think, look, that will resonate with so many of us, certainly resonating with me, whilst that lockdown period, you know, was about, in certain sense, isolation, it actually brought families closer together than they've probably been for years.
Yeah, probably yeah. Too close sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's true, absolutely. So there's another one of those toilet paper references, but no, we'll roll over from that one. Look, that's brilliant, and really appreciate, you know, as I say, just the depth of sharing that you're giving to listeners right at the moment. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that it's absolutely resonating with them for their story as well. And that's really why we want to capture this before it gets too far in the past distance, you know, that sort of thing. We're going to kick to a song because I've asked you to bring a couple of your songs in and that we can play to listeners. And this didn't surprise me at all because this is the Sally Ann that I know or see or around the place, the library and other places around town and whatever. But you brought in a particular song that means something to you, and tell us about it, who's it by, and then we'll kick to the song and listeners can have a listen themselves.
So it's Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Perfect.
By
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit of a worrywart, and there are things in life that you can't control, so try and be happy.
Sounds good to me. That is a great segue into our next song, listeners, or our first song for this edition of Your Stories, Our Community. I'm with Sally Ann Smith, who's my special guest today, and we're just having a bit of a chinwag about her journey and her family's journey throughout COVID and why she came to Harvey in the first place, and we found out that she's related to royalty in India and royalty in England, and but still a peasant, which is lovely because that resonates with most of us. That's a good thing. All right, we're going to kick to Sally Ann's first choice, which is Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin. Can't think of a better song and a better way to get into it. So hope you really enjoy this one, listeners.
A little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style. Ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry. Be happy. When you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy.
be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
Okay, welcome back. G'day, it's David Marshall. How you going? If you've just tuned in, this is Your Stories, Our Community. And I've got my special studio guest in here today, Sally Ann Smith. And she's been telling us a bit about her journey and how her and her family came here early on, 1986 or thereabouts, and how she's grown up and around this area and the things that she's done, a whole range of different things. And but in particular, we're kind of really getting into the area of what COVID-19 meant for Sally Ann and her family, and we've had a few questions already about that. But I just want to pick up on that now, Sally Ann, and just continue with that a little bit. Was there anything that either your family members or yourself, did anybody suffer directly from COVID-19, and what were your or their experiences like?
So I was the lucky one to end up with COVID. It was pretty harsh on my body, but being isolated, that I think that was probably harder. All I wanted was a hug, but you know, everyone thought I was a swamp monster, so they didn't want to come near me.
Yeah,
which is understandable. So I was walking down the hallway. I had my mask on. I had Glen 20 under one armpit and eucalyptus spray under the other, and the boys were so lovely. They got out my way really quickly. It was like the parting of the Red Sea. They weren't sure of what was going to happen. I wasn't sure of what was going to happen either, because nobody really knew about this sickness. My husband and I discussed infection control measures. So, you know, six people in the house with COVID wouldn't be very fun. So he ended up, you know, taking over with cooking. All of it. You know, he was working 11 hours and going shopping, cooking for the kids and getting the kids to help clean up. And I was, you know, locked in my bedroom as such. So I feel like that helped in decreasing because nobody else got it in the house.
Yeah.
Just recently, one of my sons got it and gave it to me for Mother's Day. So that was lovely and sharing. But it was as bad, but I think the longevity of it wasn't as long and as harsh. But
all right, so you've copped it on a couple of occasions, and including a bunch of flowers and breakfast in bed plus a side dish of COVID on Mother's Day. So, well, I'm glad the second journey was a bit better than the first.
This has got flowers. Yeah. Oh, no, I got flowers.
Did get flowers. Yeah. Good, excellent. But in particular, probably reflecting more on that first time when it sounds like, you know, the whole, for all of us, it was a challenge. Someone gets it in the family. Mm-hmm. And then what do the rest of us do? How do we relate and all that sort of stuff? Either for you or someone else that you know of, or maybe, did that roll on to a feeling of loneliness or isolation for you in that? Did that have any impact apart from the physical side of the COVID?
I felt a guilty being sick because we've got, you know, so much to do and so many kids to look after. I couldn't do anything. And I felt, you know, Clint, he's an amazing man, and he just sort of took over and said, no, you know, you're sick, you got to stay in here. And, you know, the kids were great. They did what they needed to do and pulled together as, you know, a stronger family, I guess.
Yeah, which is fantastic and similar. That I would say that kind of fits in my experience as well. You can really see, though, I suppose, knowing, you know, the actual physical journey that many of us went through when we copped it first time round or whatever, it must have been extremely difficult for someone living on their own, you know, living in a block of flats no family networks. That's really cool. So based on all that, you know, we've talked about and all the rest of it, and you have, you know, going through that journey as a family, as an individual, you know, the actual health side of it, what do you think are the main things that have changed for you over these last few years when COVID's been around and we seem to be somewhat coming out of it, if you like?
Yeah, I've seen more tech chat groups. They've surfaced, you know, it's going to the doctors, you can get a script. You don't actually have to go to the doctors and spend that time and at the pharmacy and you know, they're making it easier for the elderly as well. Connections through community, intergenerational inquiries, they increased the educational apps, family day, I wish they kept that.
Right, yes.
I observed an increase in people with friendships, young and old. Technology assisted my son. He severely broke his ankle last year. Because he did that remote learning, that helped him with his communication skills, connecting with the staff and teachers at the college.
Right.
So that was a positive. Mm. Assisting others and realising I need time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do everything as we mothers think we can.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to ask for help.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's, you know, obviously these are very personal questions and coming up with answers that have, you know, changed the way we think and what we do and all that sort of stuff. And I think this next question really fits into that as well. So, you know, with the things that are important to you after going through this COVID-19 journey that we've all been through and that period of time in particular, have any of your priorities changed? And if they have, what would they include?
The protection of my kids. That was, whether it be mental, physical, educational or emotional support, that is still my priority. I'd like to travel more and do more adventures because we're allowed to and we can. They're my main things.
Mm. Sounds like more bungee jumps on the horizon for Sally Ann Smith. But anyway, still haven't convinced me on that one. But anyway, so...
I've got a list.
excellent. And what about... Okay, so you've been a resident in this area since 1986. So a long time. You've seen a lot. You've
not too long.
Done a lot. You know, it's a decent amount. done a lot, seen a lot, and... been involved in certainly at a community level very strongly. What do you think has changed for the Harvey area and probably more broadly for society during that period of what we call COVID-19 period?
Harvey as a whole is a supportive community, but more so now assisting people, you know, the community dinner.
Yep.
That Esther does and her team on the Mondays are connecting people and they can share their stories.
Mm.
Where I work, a lot of people came in and shared their story.
Where is that? Because I don't think we've referenced that yet.
It's at the Harvey Public Library.
It is indeed. She's the smiling face, or one of the many smiling faces you get behind the counter, listeners. Maybe some of you have just joined the dots. So Harvey, supportive community, you feel, yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The community spirit has increased.
Yeah. No, that's fine. If that's an outcome that, from your perspective, that's a great outcome. In that, then, it probably leads very much onto the next question. So more supportive, potentially more connected, if you like, and you've used the community dinner as a great example of that. Do you think as a society and as a community we're more resilient? Whatever resilience means in your context?
You know, in history there have been wars, there have been pandemics, there have been other major global events that have changed the world, but COVID-19 was in a different generation, and the unknown of this sickness was probably the scariest part to deal with.
Mm.
Vaccinations was and still is a talking point for community. I believe we've become more resilient and supportive of each other, in particular elderly. touching base with family and friends and working collaboratively together is one of the benefits or the outcomes.
Yeah.
And if we can try and put a positive spin on things, whatever life throws at you, perhaps we'd be less caught up with feeling bogged down. As the seasonal affective disorder looms, being winter, I just hope that people are able to get involved in a group or go out with a friend or go for a walk if you physically can.
So we're going to wrap up our little chat together, and it's been a great chat, and I'm really pleased that you accepted the challenge to come on in and have a chat because you've really imparted both honesty, absolutely, but some real insights there that you've picked up for your family, and that's brilliant, and I'm sure will be of great benefit for listeners. But the final question I wanted to ask you is, wrapped around all those experience, good, bad, tragic, highlights, whatever it may be throughout that period of time, and on that experience that you've had, are you optimistic for the future? And what are some of your hopes and dreams in coming years?
You have to be optimistic. My hopes and dreams are more seeing my children happy and prospering in life. I would like to travel more, finish my degree, and have that work-life study balance thing worked out. It's a lie. Have some peace and relaxation and progress with work.
Sounds great. I'm very happy for you and very happy for the rest of us as well, because I agree. We are coming out of all those experiences, as you've explained today, and for each of us, we would have had our own experiences and journeys.
That's right.
To have that optimistic outlook is just such a refreshing thing. So good
thank
on you.
You. Thanks.
No, thank you for coming
for
in and sharing on your stories, our community. It's David Marshall, and I've been interviewing my special studio guest today, Sally Ann Smith. And earlier on, we asked Sally Ann to share her a song, and she came up with "Don't Worry, Be Happy," Bobby McFerrin. What are you going out with?
It's a song off The Greatest Showman called "This Is Me." This was an empowering song after a few trials and tribulations that life threw at me. I sung this on stage with my singing group at the Music Room.
Great.
And I love it.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, let's go out with this song, the special song that Sally Ann has chosen to finish off this. Listeners, thanks very much for joining in again for Your Stories, Our Community, as we continue this series of interviews with locals and just trying to get a bit of an insight, a capture of their COVID journey. And this has been Sally Ann Smith's journey today. So thank you very much, Sally Ann.
Thank you, David.
That's fine. And we're going to go out with her final song choice, which is Keela Settle from The Greatest Showman. And it's "This Is Me." Hope you really enjoy it.
I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown a man. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.